In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Please be seated. Before our missionaries will speak about our experience in El Salvador this past week, come and take a seat here. I want to say briefly, there were six of us from St. Peter's, and we were joined by some seminarians from California and a student from Edinburgh, Scotland, along with six El Salvadorans from different walks of life, also joined us in a program called Global School of Engagement. And we spent between classrooms and also field sites most of our days there. And the thing that we learned was global warming and climate change. Why global warming and climate change? Why are we doing that in El Salvador? Well, we all know that global warming is happening and climate change is happening, but more than we are feeling here, it is felt in poorer countries. And so since we every year go to El Salvador, this was one of the topics that they chose to talk about and to study. So we're going to share some of our learnings from our experience, and Gary is not here, he's traveling, but Karen and Cindy and Sarah are going to be speaking about our experience.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. For those who may not remember my name is Karen Mitten. I'm a youth group leader here for the past 9 years, and this was my first mission trip out of the country. I've done two to West Virginia. I firmly recommend going on these mission trips, not only for your personal enrichment, but it's to show support to our community and in El Salvador and Cristosal. It means something to visit instead of just giving money and hope their problems just go away. They're not faithless people alone in their struggle. We sit with the Salvadorians, talk to them, share our meals together, and encourage each other to do our best in our lives. It gives you a warm feeling. Don't worry about the language barrier. There's probably very few that know less Spanish than I do. And in fact, by the end of the week, I just would blurt out good morning to everybody. And I've convinced a few I was starting to hear that back. A smile goes a long way, and it's the international language. So you don't, the interpretation is very easy. And I think at the end of the week, I got my point across that I was glad to be there and glad to meet them and listen to what they had to say. We were in a human rights seminar, which was called Liberation Theology, Liberation Science. It's an innovative approach to climate change. Focus was on the environmental damage done by the big companies. On a more serious note, I'm going to talk about three different companies that are prevalent in El Salvador and other poor countries and what has been going on. First, I'm going to talk about mining. It's destructive to the environment as well as humans. How many people have lost their lives in mine accidents as well as illnesses that miners are prone to develop. No OSHA standards used to protect the miners in poor countries. Then you probably never even heard of it. You may think you own the land, and this is even throughout the world, but big companies may buy your mineral rights and come into your backyard and start digging. The poor countries like El Salvador are particularly defenseless against the big corporations wishing to abuse their rights. Corruption is rampant in the government. Laws, if they are even in effect, are meaningless. No enforcement there. If bribery doesn't work, other violent options become available. But for El Salvador, there was a recent victory, for mining was stopped, but it came with a heavy cost. Several leaders lost their lives speaking out against stone mining. It was a tough fight for them. Walmart, it's something to see when you're in a foreign country and see the a big store. They took out the natural environment. Every tree, plant, and flower was removed to put in a Walmart. No environmental laws upheld. And adding insult to injury, they would sell in their store, add one more piece of fruit, and sell it for the same price as the local vendors. Well, if you're in a poor country and your family's starving, where do you go? They didn't give them much choice. So ultimately, the goal was to put locals out of business so companies can later inflate their prices. Coke. We all know the Coke company. I was speechless when I heard about what they did to the people of El Salvador. How low can you go? They came in, took their water, and so they don't even have enough drinking water, or it's polluted. Took their water to make their product and then sold it back to the people in a less healthy form. Just imagine living in your own home, a company comes in and says, your water supply is now going to be deferred to me. But don't worry. We'll make a product that you can buy back, your own water. The Coke really promotes themselves. We were in a very rural area, and you could see in one of the banners all these streamers decorating the roof, and they were all the Coke signs. You see chickens. Nothing else is modernized, but you see the Coke. And when we went over, took a boat over to the island, there were empty Coke bottles in their trash. It just didn't fit in. Where is this voice to stop their unimaginable crime against the poor? If one should dare to speak up against these companies, their voice could be silenced forever, and that's what they deal with on a daily basis. No, it's not an option for these big companies. Their motto is, obtain our goals by any means. A few points I want to leave you with. How we live in this country can affect people like people in countries, poor countries like El Salvador. We just don't think about it when we see a label, made in China or El Salvador. And I feel that we all should be aware of what that truly means. The next time you have a Coke product, just imagine how it was produced. It might taste a little bit different. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. First, I really want to thank you all for your support and your thoughts and your prayers and your financial contributions to make this great mission a success this year. And it's just so wonderful. You know, this is the whole church's mission, not just the missioner's mission, but the whole church's mission. And we are really making an impact on so many outside of our borders. It's just a wonderful thing. Well, let me go on to tell you about our trip then this year and our experience. This year's experience with Krista Sal's School of Global Engagement was unlike any other this year, because we learned about science, liberation science, actually. And liberation science is like the science for the good of the people. And it's the first year we learned about global change, and we even got into the biochemistry and physics associated with it all. And it was very interesting, though, and very important material to learn. And we came to understand why our sacred earth is suffering right now, with further risks ahead. We were taught by top environmental scientists and gained further perspective by doing site visits to a beautiful ecological farm, an eco-community organization, and a Christian faith community. And our group was enhanced by joining with five other missioners, mainly in California, and we also connected with other Salvadorans who joined us and were with us and traveled with us throughout the week. And we every day we shared our thoughts and reflections to reinforce our learning with each other. And what stuck with me most was the urgency of this global warming issue. And to further explain, I'll share some key points that I learned. You might be just a little impressed with this stuff, because this is all, you know, science that I learned on this trip. So it's exciting to learn this information because, you know, I didn't know this beforehand, and it really, once you helps when you understand, you know, the awareness and the importance is more prominent. Okay, so we learned that we have glacier ice melting more rapidly, okay, and that emits greenhouse gases such as methane, plus causes a rise in ocean levels and erosion of coasts and instability of the ground. By the way, greenhouse gases are those that trap heat in our atmosphere. Emissions of fossil fuel is going up with our excessive use of coal for energy, which leads to increased CO2 greenhouse gases in the atmosphere. Of note is that once the CO2 is in the atmosphere, it doesn't go away. Or it will go away, but in 500,000 years. So it's trapped in our atmosphere. Carbon dioxide, along with many other greenhouse gases, are emitted by car exhaust, industrial waste, forest fires, agricultural use of pesticides, and many other human-related factors. Cutting down trees and deforestation is also greatly contributing to higher CO2 levels. This is because when trees are cut, they emit their stored carbon, and deforestation is happening at a fast pace around the world, as trees are being cut for profits for timber, charcoal, pastures, and cropland. El Salvador in Central America is an area of particularly high deforestation, and it's quite a problem in the country. Average world temperature is going up every decade, and we've had temps in the past 8 months with an overall temp increase that is usually seen over 5 years. With higher temps, oceans and other waters become warmer, and there is more water vapor in the atmosphere, which generates more hot clouds, which heats the planet more. Since 1950, and they use 1950 as a starting marker because it's the beginning of the economic boom. So since 1950, there has been a 1 degree Celsius rise in average temperature. And once that temp gets to over a 2 degree rise, there will be a positive feedback effect, which is essentially an exaggerated and perpetual response to the global warming contributors. So then there'll be like no going back in a way. We're not too far away from this already, and most scientists are predicting a 3 to 4 degrees Celsius rise, and some think even up to 5 to 7 degrees. But once the rise gets to 5 degrees, the Earth can only provide for 1 billion people. The common goal of scientists is that the temp rise does not exceed 2 degrees Celsius by 2100. And this will take much effort, but there is a chance that it can be done. If we have high CO2 and temperatures, we'll also have more precipitation and other weather extremes, which leads to more swamps and wetlands, which leads to more CO2. And you can see this positive feedback effect. Other areas of the Earth could experience severe drought. So that's quite a lot there, and it's scary, you know. What is the impact of these global changes on people, and especially the poor? Well, it contributes to more migration, which could develop into massive displacement of people due to contaminations, droughts, hurricanes, lack of water, or related disease, which in turn leads to more vulnerability and suffering, and also increased threat of war and conflict. And injustice to this is that the poor tend to emit the least amount of CO2, but yet they are the ones affected the most and the most vulnerable. The World Bank, in its recent report, states that climate change and poverty reduction can't be separated as issues. The world needs to resolve both. Yes, climate change is a global issue. It's an issue that involves all humanity and an issue which reflects our dependency on each other. Pope Francis said, we cannot presume to heal our relationships with nature and the environment without healing all fundamental human relationships. So I heard that when I was at the community, the faith community, faith-based community, they stated that, and I thought that was a powerful quote there that resonated with me. But essentially, also, I'm thinking to work on healing our planet, we need to focus on loving each other. We really do. So we have a solution in three words: love each other. So that's it. That's what we need to do. Sounds so simple, doesn't it? But oh so true. And we can live by that motto and make an impact by encouraging peace between people, nations, and working towards stopping injustices. We can work on it by showing care for our earth as an essential component to our Christian faith. Also by heightening our sense of compassion and responsibility for our fellow man, through awareness of how our choices and actions can impact not only our environment, but be felt at opposite ends of the globe. By seeing all people as equal and embrace diversity among people, by appreciating different cultures and having a desire to protect and nurture this diversity. So all human life depends on the health of our earth. And we are also dependent on each other as God wants us to be. God is calling for us to take action on this urgent issue of our humanity. By loving each other, we show our love for our earth and for God, and this will lead a way towards hope and prosperity as God shines most brightly throughout his creation.
Hello, everyone. So I've been to El Salvador a few times, I think about 4 or 5 times, but the last time I went was about 4 years ago. Since then, I've gone to college, and CristoCel, the organization that kind of hosted us, has made a lot of changes to their mission model. And And going there, I found that their model is extremely powerful and makes a lot of sense. And there are 2 essential parts to their model. One, having a group travel there, and 2, having them bring the knowledge back that they learned and using it to make changes in the community and the nation and possibly even the world. So first of all, thank you all so much for your support. We couldn't have had the privilege to go there without all of you and all of your undying support. So thank you so much. As you can see, or as you've heard, we learned a lot in El Salvador. We ate with the people, we talked to them, we could hear the suffering and passion in their voices. And we learned that, you know, a lot of what is causing these natural disasters in their areas are what we're doing over here. And we don't necessarily see the direct impact. So we continue doing whatever we do in a given day without really thinking about it. But, you know, with the privilege of going there, we were able to actually take the time and learn and reflect and talk about and brainstorm about what we're doing or how what we're doing really impacts those people, as well as what changes we could possibly make in order to have a more positive impact and maybe even reverse global warming and climate change. And I think a lot of the problem with us in our country is that global warming is not necessarily on our top, like at the top of our list of worries, because we don't see the direct impact. The problem is urgent, and we need to make it a priority just in our everyday actions, as well as taking part in larger movements that can make a wider impact. So since we had the privilege of going and taking that time to really think and talk, we're bringing back a list of things that we thought we could do as a church and as a community and as individuals. And here it is. It's a pretty lengthy list already, and we'll put it downstairs. But we invite all of you to look at this list and to add to it. Think about it critically. Are these things realistic to do? You know, what other ideas do you guys have? This is all about everyone getting involved and everyone participating. And we can't make an impact by just us six going and making little changes. We need to get everyone involved. And we also invite you to choose a few of these to do, even one. You know, make the changes that you can, because this is really an issue of humanity and of caring for one another, and we can really all make an impact if we critically look at what we're doing and take the actions to make changes. So, thank you.